As we come to God's Word and consider all that God has done for us in Jesus, let's pray and ask for His help. Our Father, we thank You for this day where we can think about Jesus and think about why He came. We pray that You would help us to understand, and we pray that we would grow in our love for You and in our wonder for what You have done for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I think most people love Christmas. It's a time for family and food and gift giving. Now, for others, it's a stressful time which they dread. And why is that? Because it's a time for family and food, and gift-giving. Many of us love catching up with family that we haven't seen for months or years. It's valuable time, full of fun watching little ones grow into big ones. For others, this is stressful because there's a reason why we haven't seen our family in so long. Family drama and old feuds don't bring Christmas cheer. I love the food we have at Christmas. Even though it's more suited to a winter Christmas, I love the turkey and the pork and the roast veggies and the Christmas pudding. Others stress about their diets and losing weight over summer, so it doesn't work out as well for them. And of course, Christmas involves lots of gift giving and receiving. We all love getting gifts, especially when they're thoughtful and personal. But even a money gift can be really handy for the following sales period. But while it's fun to accept a present, it isn't always easy to find that perfect gift for someone else. I am terrible at finding presents. It takes time and thought to get the perfect gift for someone. Some people find it easy. My mum, she stocks up on presents that she knows that people will appreciate throughout the year. She sees it on sale and she buys it and puts it in a cupboard so that she can give it to this person for a later birthday or Christmas. She's well prepared, but that's not me. Thankfully, I have a wife who takes the time to think it all through. But these gifts that we give one another at Christmas are only a shadow of the true gift given at Christmas. Around 2,000 years ago, the real Christmas gift was given, and no other gift can compare. The only question is, will you accept it? One of the most famous verses in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's this verse that we're going to look at this Christmas, and we'll look at it in three parts. First, God loved. Second, God gave. And third, God saves. And this Christmas, the invitation is clear. Accept God's present this Christmas. And I'll actually give you a chance to do that at the end, if you would like. So first, God loved. We often take this for granted. It's easy to think that this is normal. It's the default that God loves the world. But why is that? Why is that our default position? Is it because we think that we are particularly lovable? Like a sleeping baby in a cot, God just can't help looking down on us and smiling. I think that's the key reason. We look at ourselves and we're convinced that we're such good people and that the people around us are mostly good people. But when you poke into that belief a little bit more, we discover that we don't really believe it. If you drove here this morning, I am sure that you have locked your car. You didn't leave your keys in the ignition. Levi's not sure if he's locked his car. He's a bit worried. And he's worried because of what I'm about to say. You didn't trust the people around you. And you've taken steps to protect yourself from them. But even if you want to say, no, I'm sure people are basically good, but I'm just protecting myself from the exceptions that are out there, the criminals. That still doesn't work. See, Jesus says in Luke 6 that out of the heart, out of the abundance of man's heart, the mouth speaks. Our words reveal who we are on the inside. In those stressful moments, the truth is revealed. Those unkind words when we're stuck in traffic. That gossip at work. Those lies to protect yourself and to avoid conflict. They reveal who we really are. We're not good. And it's not just our words. I'd hazard a guess that you've, in some time in your life, you've taken something that didn't belong to you. Maybe it was just a pen, but it wasn't yours, and you took it. Jesus said that even when you just look at someone with lust, you've committed adultery with them in your heart. Now, I doubt that there's many here who could say that they haven't ever done that. We could look at more commandments, but these should be enough to show that we are not basically good people. We're not lovable. We're unkind. Gossips, liars, thieves, adulterers at heart. But it's worse than that. You see, we're not just bad to each other. We're enemies with God. With every sin we commit, every unkind word, we show contempt for our Maker. He made us to reflect His glory, to praise Him and to build others up, and instead we use our words to tear each other down. We commit crimes against the eternal God, which deserves eternal punishment. When God looks at the world, He doesn't see a whole lot of good people. He sees deluded people who hate Him, who have rejected Him, and who can't treat one another with love and kindness. And yet to this world that's rejected Him, He shows love. To His undeserving creatures, God loves. And because He loves this undeserving world, He gives. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's this great gift which is the reason we celebrate Christmas. We give gifts because He first gave. It's not a random day that's been set aside by the various governments of the world to be this public holiday. It's a day where we remember the greatest gift that's ever been given, the gift of God's own Son. But the big question here is, why did God send His Son? How is giving Jesus as a baby, how is that a sign of His love, the greatest expression of His love? It's because of what He came to do. We've already seen that we're not good. We're actually really bad people. Everything that we do is tainted by evil, by our selfishness, our lovelessness, our unwillingness to give up on sin. We just keep piling upon ourselves judgment upon judgment. We've rejected the author of life. He gave us everything we have, every breath, every heartbeat, every neuron that fires in the brain is a gift from Him. And we reject Him. Every sin we commit is a crime against Him, a sign that we don't love Him and we actually want nothing to do with Him. And so God sentences us to death. We've rejected the author of life, so we receive the sentence of death and eternal punishment in hell. And it wouldn't matter if we stopped sinning right now, because even if we could, we've still got all our past sins to deal with and to pay for. See, God's a good judge. He's not just going to sweep our wrongdoing under the carpet because we say sorry. But God's not just a good judge. He's also loving. He loves us lawbreakers. And because he loved, he gave. He gave his son. Now there's a few things that make this an incredible gift, but let's just focus on what he came to do. He came to bear the punishment for us lawbreakers. The baby grew up. And unlike everyone else who ever lived, he'd always lived his life God's way. He didn't do anything deserving death. He never gossiped or lied or stole. He always loved people and he always loved God. But he went to the cross. The baby we celebrate today grew up to die on the cross. And he didn't deserve it. We deserved it. We did, not him. And it was there that God's gift really showed how good he was. Because when he died, he wasn't being punished for his sins. He was being punished for the sins of his people. God loved. God loved, and so he gave. And it's the greatest gift that could ever be given. He gave his son, the eternal son of God, and he came to restore us back to God. And because of this loving gift, God saves. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved. God gave. God saves. But who does he save? Who? Is this for everyone? Are we all automatically saved, spared from the judgment to come? Do we not have to worry about death and hell anymore? No. No, Jesus is abundantly clear that if you want this gift, you have to accept it. It's only those who believe in him who won't perish and face the judgment that's to come. At the cross, Jesus was paying the fine that we should have paid. And it's only those who believe and who accept this gift who have their fine paid. At the cross, those who trust in Jesus, God's gift, and his death on the cross get forgiveness. Jesus takes all the bad stuff that we've ever done, and it's all punished in him. Our debt is paid. But see, it's even better than that. It's not just that we had an infinitely negative bank balance and Jesus has paid that debt off and so that debt is forgiven and so we're brought back to zero. We're not neutral with God. We're not in a neutral place. Because all the good things that Jesus did have now been credited to us, put on our account. And so we've gone from having an infinitely negative balance with God to now being infinitely positive because all the good things that he did have been put on us. And what does this mean? It means we get eternal life. Life forever with the God who loved us and gave us the greatest gift that could ever be given. Everlasting life with the God who is the source of all life and who made us to rejoice in him. He's the giver of every good gift, and this Christmas he offers you himself. He made you, and he is offering you forgiveness and joy and peace with him. Not because you deserve it. You don't. Like me, you are a rebel against God. You live your life for yourself. You live it your own way. If you haven't accepted this gift, you do whatever you think is right without a thought for what God thinks is right. Now, you might think this is all a bit heavy for a Christmas sermon. Talk about punishment and hell, rebellion against God. You were expecting something a bit nicer, a bit more cuddly, about a baby in a manger. But this is the gift that God offers us, that he offered at that very first Christmas, and he is offering to you now. Turn away from your sin and come to Jesus in faith. Say sorry for your rebellion and accept the gift that no other king would give to traitors like you and me. We're criminals deserving the death penalty. What other king would give his own son to pay the rebel's debt? Only this king. Only God. Because God loved, so he gave, so that he could save. And so will you be saved this morning? Will you recognise the truth of the carol when it asks, who is he that from the grave comes to strengthen, heal and save? Will you be saved this morning? Will you accept God's presence this Christmas? If you haven't done that yet and you would like to, whether you've been in church for years or whether this is your very first time, you have an opportunity now to do that. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and if you would like to accept this gift, you can say the words just to yourself and to God, just quietly. You can say them, and then you'll be welcome into God's family, into God's kingdom. So I'm going to pray, and if you would like to, you can pray after me, just in your mind. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I deserve punishment. Thank you for sending Jesus, that by believing in him, I can be forgiven. Please forgive me. Make me your child and help me to live your way. In Jesus' name, Amen.